Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Petzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, this 10th day of January, 2024, live. I have a wonderful guest lined up, but he hasn't reached me yet. I'm going to bring him in at the earliest opportunity. We have some stunning stories to begin with, including this is New York students booted from school to make room for immigrants. This is how far it's gone. Our situation here with this massive influx of immigrants is deteriorating beyond words. It's catastrophic. The illegal immigration problem in the Big Apple continues to deteriorate as President Joe Biden leaves out the red carpet for more undocumented immigrants to flood across the southern border. Most recently, a New York City high school forced students to learn remotely so the building could be used to house migrants. As the New York Post reported, the city made the move among conservatives in a massive migrant tent at Floyd Bennett Field would collapse from torrential rains and gusty winds, packing them instead into the second floor gym at James Madison High School, 5 miles away. The school's neighbors were not keen on the last-minute decision. "This is effed up," said a local resident who identified himself only as Rob. "It's a litmus test. They're using a storm, a legitimate situation where they're testing this out. I guarantee you they'll be here for the entire summer. There's 1,900 people getting thrown into my neighborhood half a block from where I live, and we don't know who they are. They're not vetted. A lot of them have criminal backgrounds. We don't even know who the hell they are." Meanwhile, libs of TikTok tweeted, "Breaking. I just received footage of a mom in James Madison High School in New York City where students are learning remotely to make room for illegals to sleep there. Workers unloading cots, food, supplies for the illegals. The mom is told not to record. Here's another proud army brat. 2,000 illegals are being taken to New York James Madison High School to be housed. The American students who go to that school will now have to learn remotely. This is BS." And Steve Starr is here joining me. Steve, this is outrageous. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. It's outrageous. We shouldn't have anything like this happening. And of course, that wall would have been built and operational and even constructive to the people in Latin America that are coming across. We've got so many people, Jim, coming across right now that are leaving families behind. I mean, I don't know. I'm not talking about just the terrorists. I'm talking about the people who are honestly wanting to make a living. But they're coming to this country from places like Guatemala, and their families haven't heard from them in months. They haven't made any money. They haven't sent anything back. I mean, this is not helping the people of Latin America as well as all the other problems that have resulted here. I've been a longtime supporter of trying to help people in Latin America. I've got some great stories, and I know people who are missionaries in that area. And this is not helping anyone. So, and of course, now you see that the problems here. I'm in the Denver area. Even Denver is objecting now to all the new people who are in the region, and they can't cover it. Another Democratic mayor and governor here in our state, Jim, and it's just awful. So, you know, I'm glad to be on the show with you, and I'm just going to roll with it. We'll talk about it, but I agree. You know, you're pointing it out. These are the kinds of things that are absolutely insane.
But, Stephen, it all has to be deliberate. I mean, you cannot fail to foresee that if you bring in millions and millions of illegals into the country, they're going to need housing, they're going to need support, they're going to need, ideally, work conditions, but there's been no preparation for this. It's a massive onslaught. They're being given $5,000 debit cards when they cross the border, $2,200 a month in support, food, shelter, green cards, all at the taxpayer expense. This appears to be a massive program to destroy America, Steve.
Absolutely. You know, I mean,
yes, they'd used immigration in Europe. Now they're using it here. This has been long in the works.
Yeah, and on top of everything else, they're giving them ballots. You know, ballots. Even Elon Musk was saying that he was shocked to find out all these people are going to be voting. Now, you know, in New York, they say they can vote in the municipal elections, but they're going to try to be voting in the national ones as well. You can see that. I mean, there's no excuse for this, any of it. And, of course, Joe Biden is lying up the yin-yang. You know, I don't know if you saw those comments recently where he claimed that there were no there were four policemen killed in the Capitol January 6th riots. And we know there were no cops killed in there. That was a damned lie. And, you know, there were four protesters who died. He should be prosecuted for stirring up, in my opinion, terrorism based on lies. Nobody's forced him to come up and admit that he would lie about all of that. He was never at any of these funerals. The guy's just a scumbag.
Yeah. I've been saying, you know, if you want to understand what's going on in the United States today, just imagine Bibi Netanyahu is our commander in chief. He wants to use American resources to promote Israeli interests in the Middle East and create the greater Israel. The latest ever trying to induce the United States to attack Iran, which is the crown jewel as far as Israel is concerned, and domestically assume George Soros is in charge. And then you understand the open borders, the lawlessness, legalizing shoplifting up to 950, putting all these district attorneys in who aren't going to enforce the law, even the promotion of the woke agenda with transgender and destroying the schools, teaching masturbation, anal sex, and the like to little kids. Steve, it's outrageous.
Yes, it is, and it's been going on for years. You've been faithfully pointing it out. I have, too. So many of us. We've got so many great people out there, and everybody's frustrated. We can't understand how we let these maniacs get control of the media, but that's where we work. We're in this communications aspect, and as Tucker Carlson, recent interview with, I think his name was Brett Weinstein, he had said that, this guy had worked with the NHO and, WHO, I should say, and NIH and all these different people as an epidemiologist. And he's saying that the communications link to the people was one of the biggest problems these New World Order globalists have, is that they can't quite snuff out the truth. And we're starting to make sense to a lot more people than ever before, Jim. And, you know, this is your work. This is mine. Who are listening to our networks and supporting everything that's going on here. We are the people that are going to make the difference by waking people up, right?
Yep, absolutely. And Steve, the rather outrageous stories, I mean, today is unbelievable. Laughing out loud, Fannie Willis sued for paying her married lover to prosecute Donald Trump. This is that Fulton County case. Okay, this might actually be funnier than the whole Lisa Page Peter Strzok love affair during the Russia collusion hoax. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis is being sued by one of Trump's co-defendants in the Georgia RICO case. She'd been accused of doling out huge amounts of taxpayer cash to a special prosecutor named Nathan Wade, a married man who's a private attorney. Wade is the special prosecutor appointed by Fannie to prosecute Trump and the other 18 co-defendants. Wade is also, according to the court filing, Fannie Willis's lover. And they've been living large like Oprah with the money that Fulton County is spending to prosecute Trump. The defense team of Trump co-defendant Mike Roman dropped the bombshell filing on Monday. Roman had rejected the offer of a plea deal from prosecutor Nathan Wade and has instead dropped a dirty laundry on the floor for the world to see. Roman's defense team is asking for all charges against him to be dismissed for the lovebirds, Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade, plus the rest of the DA's office to be disqualified from further prosecution of the case. If everything in this filing checks out, it means that Fannie Willis had a major personal financial stake in prosecuting Donald Trump. Check it out. Willis's office has paid Nathan Wade close to $1 million to pursue and prosecute the case against Trump and his co-defendants. The filing states Willis and Wade were in a sexual relationship prior to Willis selecting Wade for the special prosecutor job, which means she showed personal favoritism toward him after those big bucks began rolling in. He started taking his lover, Fannie Willis, on lavish trips. They went on a trip together to wide country in Napa Valley. They took another to Florida. He paid for tickets for them to take cruises in the Caribbean on both the Royal Caribbean and Norwegian cruise lines. The filing also alleged Wade spent some of the money to rent an apartment for he and Willis cohabitated at least part-time. Oh, and did we mention Wade is married? Wade divorced his wife or vice versa while this illicit sexual affair of Fannie Willis was ongoing, and the details are likely in his divorce papers. Steve, this is so outrageous.
Yes, it is, and there should be retribution in our court system against this lawfare that's both hideous and unfounded. And, you know, why is it that the court system is so corrupt these days? We ask these questions all the way to the Supreme Court, really. And they have dodged their responsibility in dealing with examining what happened with the last election. And it continues, and these people are now on a free-for-all. They got a free ticket, they think, and they're just going to keep filing this legal lawfare against Trump and anybody else, actually, that's speaking up against them. And they're going to get through this circuit courts or the district courts of where they have their people planted to just rubber stamp a guilty plea before they even hear the hearings. I mean, I don't know how we're going to stop this illegal court system until somebody at the top starts shaking it down and holding people responsible for the illicit means of judicial political warfare is what it is.
Get this, Steve. Roman's team also notes that Nathan Wade is unqualified to prosecute a case of this nature. He's never tried a RICO case before, let alone a RICO case of national importance involving a former president. That adds fuel to the speculation that Wade was only selected for the special prosecutor job because he was sleeping with Fannie. The state of Georgia and the Fulton County DA's office have other attorneys who have tried RICO cases in the past. But Fannie Willis passed over them to give this $1 million job to a married man she was having an affair with. The special prosecutor, the filing notes, based on his lack of experience in this type of felony, would not be qualified under Fulton County standard to be appointed to represent any defendant in this case, given the complexity of the charges. If the special prosecutor is not qualified to defend the case under Fulton County standards, how is he qualified to prosecute it? Is that why the district attorney did not seek approval for his appointment? Indeed, Steve.
Oh, absolutely. You know, again, the lack of qualification here. And of course, what would they do in extremes but disbar him, which would be nothing, of course. There's no retribution that is being applied to the people who are filing these frivolous lawsuits. I think Donald Trump spent something like $1 million on a court case that a judge ruled was frivolous. That's what it cost him. Why aren't these people paying for the kinds of frivolous suits that they're bringing to court and taking up all this time with? They should be. That's been the biggest problem. I mean, when you talk about special prosecutors, I go back to our friend Robert Mueller, if you want to call him that. I think he's a mule, not a Mueller. But anyhow, I would say that, you know, there should have been immediately an investigation into him, because, you know, Jim, about 9/11, about him being appointed head of the FBI just 7 days before 9/11 took place. I mean, this guy should have been under the microscope from the very beginning. And why wasn't he? Why wasn't he examined from the beginning? This is where they got the start with this idea of the special prosecutors that they can put in and they can manipulate the courts and waste our time and money with frivolous charges.
Oh, you got it right. Here's a very interesting case that has a lot of star appeal. Aaron Rodgers body bagged Jimmy Kimmel and refuses to apologize, and he exposes the media's game plan against the Sanders. Aaron Rodgers is not apologizing. The NFL quarterback responded on Tuesday to late-night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel on Tuesday in the controversy involving comments he made last week when he allegedly suggested Kimmel's name could be found in the tranche of Jeffrey Epstein court documents. Kimmel threatened to sue Rodgers and dedicated a monologue to attacking the star quarterback. Speaking on a Pat McAfee show, Rodgers suggested his comments were intentionally misinterpreted. According to Rodgers, the beef between Kimmel and himself dates back to the COVID-19 pandemic, when Kimmel mocked Rodgers for being skeptical of the COVID vax and dominant government narratives about the pandemic. Kimmel, according to Rodgers, turned out to be wrong about the shot, despite saying that medical care should be withheld from those who didn't take it. But of course, Aaron was 100% correct. By my estimate, Steve, 1 billion people worldwide have died from the vax. Virtually none from COVID, actually. A study showed in no age group was there a significant increase in death alone from the alleged pandemic. The second issue, according to Rodgers, is that Kimmel believes Rodgers is an overly concussed wacko for believing that an Epstein client list exists. This is Jimmy Kimmel. Fast forward to last week, and I said that a lot of people, including Jimmy Kimmel, are really hoping that it doesn't come out. That's the entire quote, Rodgers explained. I was referring to the fact that if there is a list and there are names on it, then that would be the second time that a soft-brained junior college student wacko anti-vax, anti-Semite purveyor of misinformation, conspiracy theorist, MAGA, whatever other things that have been said by him and other people in the media would be right twice, he added, mocking his critics. Rodgers acknowledged how serious an allegation of pedophilia is, and thus he understands why Kimmel is upset, but referring back to his quote of the comment involving Kimmel, he said he made no such suggestion against him. I'm not stupid enough, even though you think I'm an idiot, and you made a lot of comments about my intelligence, but I'm not stupid enough to accuse you of that with absolutely zero evidence, concrete evidence. That's ridiculous. Steve, yeah. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel appears to me one more stooge on behalf of government propaganda. This is pathetic. Aaron Rodgers, a very smart guy with a lot of integrity, sees through the smoke and mirrors, and Kimmel pummels him for that?
Right. Kimmel's and bits is full of dog. I'll let you finish up the rest of the rhyme there. I mean, the guy is a maniac, and he should be taken down. But, you know, nobody questions the kind of intonation of how dangerous some of his propaganda is. It's not funny. I mean, what we've got is a real serious problem with the credibility of Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum, Joe Biden, going way back. Our whole government is in serious trouble, and these people think it's a joke to play along. And they have laugh tracks. I don't know if Kimmel actually has an audience that responds the way they do. I think they want, again, this is that Tavistock Monarch programming where they want to make us think that everybody thinks this way, so we should too. You know, it's a hokey pokey dance of idiots. And, you know, the idea, as you pointed out and so many times, and the rest of us, is that people go along with this because they don't know really where to draw the line. They're not well informed enough, and they don't really realize it's as serious as it is, Jim. And this is the kind of idiocracy, you know, it's like Bugs Bunny in the mouth of hell. You know, I mean, it's how can these people keep doing it? And why do people keep watching it is a question.
Just to illustrate how shrewd and insightful is Aaron Rodgers, later in the interview, he slammed ESPN senior VP Mike Foss for releasing a statement accusing Rodgers of making a, quote, dumb and factually incorrect joke about Kimmel. Mike, you're not helping. You're not helping because I just read earlier exactly what I said, Rodgers began. This is the game plan of the media. This is what they do. They try and cancel. And it's not just me. It's nowhere near just me. If you look at all the different people who've been censored from the internet, especially during COVID, the canceling that went on, the censorship, using the government to try and censor people, that happened. According to Rodgers, when media outlets' attempts at canceling people do not work, they resort to name-calling, which he said also doesn't work because people can see the truth for themselves. This is a game plan they use. Incorrect, but that's the environment we're in. He's got it right, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Aaron Rodgers. I have a lot of respect for a lot of the people who've stood up to the nonsense of the misuse of media to try to paint pictures and imagery that are not conducive to anything healthy, backed by Big Pharma. It's been going on for many years, the military-industrial complex. As Eisenhower warned us, you know, the military-industrial complex, a technocratic elite and massive debt would destroy this nation. We are looking at this massive debt we'll never be able to pay off as the petrodollar collapses. I mean, we're getting too far out in the big international. But right here in the hometown, you know, you have people who are already getting ready for the next plandemic. They're talking about masking this all up. This is coming. Didn't people learn anything from all of this? I mean, you have to ask these questions as to how many people have not picked up on even a stitch of information and truth about it all, Jim.
Oh, Steve, you're so absolutely correct. You're so absolutely correct. I mean, the masks are so coarse, they can't possibly filter the viruses, which are minuscule. It's like trying to filter a ping pong ball with a hula hoop. Not only that, but the masks do a tremendous amount of damage. Yeah. They inhibit and cause us to recycle waste products that we were getting out of our body through exhalation. And they lead to serious medical problems. Indeed, even Fauci, I refer to as Tony the Rat, was engaged in a study of deaths from the Spanish flu, which cost tens of millions worldwide, and discovered most of the deaths weren't from the flu at all. They were from bacterial pneumonia infections that were promoted by, guess what, wearing face masks. So just realize, it's reducing the amount of oxygen that gets to your blood. It's killing brain cells, which, unlike skin cells, do not regenerate. So it's having an adverse impact on the mental capabilities of the population, as well as restricting your ability to communicate. In fact, it turns out a whole bunch of kids have been deprived of proper learning of language because they can't see the mouth of their parents forming words, Steve. This has been catastrophic for a whole generation, and I'm afraid if they bring it back, it may do further damage yet.
Yeah, and the psychological impact of everybody walking around with their face covered is also that that slavery mindset that they're putting people through. And you're absolutely right when you talk about the cultivation of bacteria in a wet and moist mask as you go through life every day. I mean, you might as well put like a big fan filter from a gymnasium over your head. You know what I mean? As far as breathing in all kinds of toxins, you're just basically cultivating that anything that might be a parasitic bacteria. And of course, they outlawed ivermectin or made it virtually impossible to use, which would have been one of the easiest ways to get rid of a lot of this parasitic bacteria. There was something going around. Some people say, well, what was going around? Well, probably a lot of things were always going around. They always are. But when Fauci comes up with the magic formula with a mythical germ, everybody knee jerks and does exactly what he says. His remedies are the cause of all these deaths, friends. And he's been doing it now for 40 years, going on 40 years this year. So, I mean, why hasn't this man been arrested long, long ago is a question. I know Rand Paul has tried to bring the case, and he has been in contempt of Congress. And now he's left the NIH or NIAID, you know, National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, but he's still working out of Georgetown, Jesuit Georgetown, where all of this money is coming from and a lot of this research. His wife, Christine Grady Fauci, has never been brought up for asking questions about bioethics. She was head of the bioethics committee at NIH. Why isn't she being asked about what happened in Wuhan or wherever? You know, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you believe in the viral theory or not. We still have the operation has been completely illegal, no matter how you scope it out, right?
Yeah. And RFK Jr. has been speaking out about why they had to destroy ivermectin. Ivermectin is often recognized second to penicillin for having the greatest impact on human health, and his discovery won the Nobel Prize in 2015. But its existence threatened a $200 billion vaccine enterprise, which these companies, Pfizer and Moderna, were going to make on these massive vaccine projects, which is inexpensive to produce, and they get fabulous money for it. The Federal Emergency Use Authorization statute says you cannot issue an emergency use authorization to a vaccine if there's an existing medication that's been approved for any purpose that's demonstrated effective against a target illness, explained RFK Jr. So they had to destroy ivermectin and HCQ and discredit them, and they had to tell everybody they're not effective. Because if they had acknowledged that they are effective in anybody, the whole $200 billion vaccine enterprise would have collapsed.
It should collapse, and the people who perpetrated it should be collapsing underneath the gallows, in my opinion. These people are dangerous. They should be held accountable to the kinds of standards we thought we had in place at Nuremberg many years ago. This is mass genocide, much, much bigger than anything the Nazis ever did, friends. And it's been going on now for over 40 years. There were at least 300,000 AIDS patients poisoned with AZT, a drug designed to destroy DNA. That wasn't a side effect. That was what it was designed to do. Destroy DNA. Then they began giving that to pregnant women in Africa. Gates got involved with all this and his philanthropy and all that. I mean, remember how he went from software to now, you know, controlling your body with all kinds of germs, vaccines, and quantum dot devices. I mean, it's just gotten worse and worse. We have got to put a stop to it. And in the midst of everything that's happened here, I've been regretful because I'm a supporter of Donald Trump. But I, you know, I had some problems with all this. Go ahead, Jim.
Hold that thought, Steve. We'll be right back after this break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm delighted to have Steve Starrs here with me as my special featured guest. We've been going through some of the most outrageous stories of our time, which are all coming to fruition this single day. Outrageous. You're talking about Fauci, Steve. Well, guess what? He's being interrogated by Congress, and he can't remember. All of a sudden, he's lost his memory for all the details, as the Epoch Times reports. Your thoughts?
Well, we should remind him. We haven't forgotten. We know exactly what he did. He was involved with the scam that was HIV in 1984 when they made this press announcement without any peer review that they had found the probable cause of AIDS. And it was this virus that they'd been looking at actually turned out to be a sample sent to them by Dr. Luc Montagnier at the Pasteur Institute in France, which is where it came from. And you've probably heard the story how they pirated that and put it together because they were in an angst to create some answer to employ the viral industry rather than actually look at what the Centers for Disease Control originally did, Jim, was they went around and did the surveillance on AIDS patients, and they had come to the conclusion that this was not an infectious disease. That this was a disease of people who have been shooting drugs on the streets for 10 years, which causes your immune deficiency. They used to call it the dwindles going back many years ago, where people would fade in and out of an ability to fight off diseases. Then they had gay men who were using poppers. It was only a small percentage of the gay men, too, by the way, this bathhouse gang. And they said this is primarily a drug addiction, recreational drug related issue. The Centers for Disease Control has done marvelous work surveying and coming up with the information, then at the top of the office, they turn everything around into a political lie, which is what happened there. And so by 1980, 81, we already knew that HIV, or not HIV, but AIDS itself, which is very real. People call us AIDS deniers. We're not AIDS deniers, but we are people who believe in the idea that the hypothesis has never been proven. So what they did was they produced this press conference. This was science by press conference is what it was, where they said, we have found the probable cause of AIDS. They didn't say a probable cause. They said the probable cause. Oh, it's got to be a virus. It's something that Fauci knows all about, of course. We pay him big money to tell us this stuff. And they came up with this concept that this virus was what was causing 29 different diseases, as it turns out, so they ran this by and got it through Health and Human Services, a complete slip up on the Reagan administration. They should have held them accountable for what was going on, created an industry behind a mythical virus at that time to explain the problems that people who were really AIDS patients were having that we could have been alleviating, just like we've seen with COVID. It's the same old game, germ scare, toxic treatment with Fauci. He's a sorcerer. He puts people under spells, and when they cooperate with it, they die. You know, I mean, it's an incredibly dangerous operation, Jim.
Yeah, it looks very much as though the whole AIDS thing was a precursor to the COVID, as though they had a pilot project here.
Yep.
Steve, here's another story, quite bizarre. Why are there hidden tunnels? Why are there hidden tunnels beneath this house in Brooklyn? Let's get a little video report about it, and we'll talk about it. Here we go.
2024 bingo card, hidden Jewish tunnels under New York City, that you are winning at life because you just nailed it. This is really, I have to think, the most bizarre story I've heard in a very long time. And I think it could potentially, we don't know yet, it could really have potentially really troubling pieces of the story as they come out here. And we have a lot of questions. We have a lot of questions about this story. First, some context. What you're seeing here, notice the people in the middle of your screen who are hiding there in underground caves in New York City, which have been busted wide open and are now being filled with cement as a result of discovering these really damaging and hidden caverns underneath the city of New York. Late yesterday afternoon, a wild riot broke out inside a New York City synagogue in Brooklyn. Police had to be called in. Why? Look at these secret, I mean, they're coming out of the ground. And a riot breaks out as a result of it. I mean, construction workers showed up. This is when the riot started. So construction workers showed up and started trying to pour cement into these hidden tunnel systems. And that these Orthodox Jewish members had built. It's illegal. And you're not allowed to live underneath. Look at the police officers. He pulled up a taser. He's like, you guys got to get back. They're trying to fight the fact that they're now going to uncover what's perhaps in these tunnels. Is it just people? Is it just they're using it to traverse the area?
I was wondering if it was like, because like, I don't know if you know this, but in a lot of those Jewish communities, they will tie a rope from one house to the other because they're not allowed to leave their house on the Sabbath. But they're thinking as if the rope is attached. It's not technically leaving their house because it's still part of it. So maybe they were trying to attach these tunnels so that it was like it was still connected to their home so they could leave on the Sabbath.
Maybe that's, and if that's what they're saying, also the Daily Mail was saying, well, no, this is this. They built these tunnels so they could sneak into the synagogue during COVID lockdowns. But that doesn't make any sense because we now know that these tunnels were constructed about 6 months ago. So it has nothing to do with COVID, has nothing to do with lockdowns, trying to sneak into a synagogue because you're that devout. Like, that's how the Daily Mail was trying to portray the story. They're so devout.
Steve, there's something so bizarre going on here. And the very idea of pouring concrete into the tunnels is actually the destruction of evidence. So I don't think that makes any sense. When I first heard this story, I immediately said it seemed to me they might be performing child sex abuse or even child sacrifices in these tunnels. And the next thing I heard, they were pulling bloody mattresses out of these tunnels. What's your take?
Well, I have seen some of those pictures, and yeah, it's ghastly. It's a really trashy scene down there. I think they rounded up one of these rabbis as he came up out of the tunnels and caught him. Perhaps these guys, since they deal in jewelry, are concerned about leaving that location, and they have to have some way to get from one place to another without being accosted. I don't know. I give them a little bit of credit maybe in one area, but yeah, the whole thing is really shady when you see what's down there. It does look like there's a lot of what you might call ghastly imagery in these caverns underneath these synagogues there. So, yeah, more explanation and investigation should be done. But here again, are we going to hear about it? Are we going to get to the bottom of it? The news media does not report what you need to know, friends, and instead tells you things that are dangerously misleading. That's what's happening out there.
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, I've seen half a dozen stories about it already, including in the New York Jewish Week. Even the New York Post has picked up on it. There is a whole lot other going on there. It is bizarre. I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon. Another story, which I'm certain has captured your attention, is a claim that Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has been hiding his hospitalization from Biden and others, which is rocking Washington. Washington remaining collective shock Sunday as more information trickled out about Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin being admitted to the hospital intensive care unit for days in failing to disclose it to the president, the National Security Advisor, members of Congress, and the public. A lack of disclosure raised serious questions not just for Austin and his judgment, but also for President Joe Biden, and how he could have been unaware that his defense secretary was partially incapacitated for several days, especially as military confrontation between U.S. troops and Iran-backed proxy groups is heating up in the Middle East, threatening a bigger crisis. Steve, I got a report. Russia, this is on Real Raw News, which I don't consider to be a highly reliable, but in this case, I think they've got it right, that Russians are reporting that Secretary of Defense Austin was killed in Kiev. He was in an underground command bunker with the head of the Ukrainian armed forces. This is when the Russians launched that massive missile attack on Kiev, the largest of the war, and I think they got it. And the U.S. is just so bloody embarrassed. I mean, this is on multiple grounds. We're not supposed to be there actually organizing or conducting the war in the first place. Number two, Russia is defeating the Ukrainians, so we sent our Secretary of Defense to try to figure out an improved strategy. And then third, after we've attempted to kill Putin and there was an attack even on his domestic residence, they have taken out our Secretary of Defense. And I'll tell you, Steve, what confirms it for me, that story has it right. These ideas that the Secretary of Defense could have been in Bethesda Hospital and nobody known about it are complete bullshit. It is impossible. He's in the chain of command even regarding nuclear responses. He's regularly attended by security. He's in constant communication with others. This is just a preposterous story, and the fact that they're having to resort to it is because the truth is even more embarrassing and humiliating. Your take?
Well, my take is that you're onto something there, at least. We know that the disappearance of Austin for all this period of time is unexplained and unexcused. I mean, Biden, of course, we know he can't even find his underwear. I'm not going to credit him as being a source of credibility in terms of knowing what was going on, but he didn't know anything about it. Everybody else doesn't. And as you said, he's right in the chain of command of anything at this critical moment right now. Why the Secretary of the Department of Defense is missing in action is a serious question. I'll bring up another suggestion. I don't know if you heard the interviews recently from, I think his name is Ivan Ralkin. And he is, Ralkin, he's actually got the information and the sheets on all of these direct messages that were put up, private direct messages that were put up on Twitter that are now in the hands of Elon Musk. They are very seriously concerned about the things that John Brennan and all these other people were saying among themselves. This is like Hillary's 33,000 emails, except we don't need the Freedom of Information Act anymore. They're right there in the Twitter data files. Elon Musk has all these things. These are indicative of the fact that they were intentionally trying to damage our troops with this jab. Now, if that gets out, the U.S. military, probably in whole, will be furious. I don't know if this is part of it or not, Jim. It may be. You know what I'm saying? This could be part of the thing, too, where Lloyd Austin is hiding away trying to see what they're going to do to stop this amount of information from destroying the morality and the allegiance to this government that the military has been placed under to their own disadvantage. What do you think?
Well, he can't be hiding out. It's impossible. Scott Ritter is a former Army Intel and PsyOps officer. He's been to Washington. He's dealt with Rumsfeld, for example. When he saw Rumsfeld on a street in Georgia and just hollered out to him, four SEALs emerged. He hadn't even known they were there. He's under constant protection. I mean, after all, the head of our national security, our armed forces, would be a high-value target for kidnapping or extortion or whatever. The whole story is just preposterous. I agree the military appears to have had a role here in the COVID fiasco and the vax. We're getting a report from a whistleblower that the DOD was behind Operation Warp Speed, but that, in my opinion, cannot account for the preposterous stories they're giving. So they're making a big lie that cannot possibly be true. to conceal what, in their judgment, is the even more embarrassing truth about his having been there and killed. And I'll tell you, Steve, I think they're combing the American military for a Lloyd Austin look-alike. As you're aware, I've spent a lot of time on the use of body doubles. Hillary's had at least 8 of them. She even used a body double to debate Bernie Sanders and then Donald Trump on the national stage. That wasn't Hillary. It was a younger, thinner, healthier, much more attractive version than real Hillary, though they have designed a voice box. They can project Hillary's authentic voice. See, we got it with Biden. It sounds like Biden, but it's not Biden. Biden's got a body double. He has a different shape and size of skull. He's got a different signature. It cannot possibly be the same person. So I think they're scrounging to try to find a Lloyd Austin body double. He may even undergo plastic surgery, as was the case when Paul McCartney died and was replaced with William Shepard, Billy Shears, as he was introducing Sergeant Pepper to make him more like Paul. But that was when they ceased to do their concerts. They stopped touring. I think it would have been too obvious to the fans that this was not the real James Paul McCartney. And so they use this body double, who is known as a man of 1,000 voices. In my opinion, Steve, he's an even better musician. He took the Beatles in directions they would never have gone. I mean, start the initiation with the Sgt. Pepper album itself. Take that where you like, my friend.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, we have seen, of course, the Beatles were pressured by MBE, members of the British Empire, from the very beginning. You know, they had been given diplomatic immunity and privileges. And, you know, if you saw the movie Help, they were shooting the scene out there in the middle of Stonehenge, surrounded by tanks, you know, to be protected as national treasures. You know, not to get too far off on this subject, but we know about Tavistock. We know about the necessity in 1963 and 64 to come up with British heroes that they needed at that time, because they were still digging out from World War II at that time. They needed James Bond and they needed the Beatles. This was all about creating that new image that the British Empire needed. And of course, we know what happened with Princess Di and some other things that along the ways. We've seen it. So, I mean, when you talk about body doubles and when you talk about the implication of putting somebody who is a lookalike in a position like this to maintain an integrity, or at least a concept that they have the same people working on these things, so nobody is alarmed by what could be happening. It's very real. But Lloyd Austin's been disappeared for now, what is it, about 10 days, I think it is. He's never shown up. We've never heard anything about his diseases. He's supposed to be at Walter Reed. We don't know. And the question is, maybe they were caught off guard. In this case, they didn't have one, and they're still struggling to find something. Good points. We just got to stay at it and keep investigating. Be open. You know, we might be wrong, but we have to. We can at least ask the questions, right?
Well, some of the claims being floated, he was in there for prostate surgery. Somehow he went home, but it was elective. If you're having elective surgery, that means it's not a medical necessity. Why, in a time like this, when we're so actively engaged in wars and multiple fronts, would you take elective surgery? You would not. It would be preposterous to suggest a chain of command didn't know where he was and exactly what was going on. Gab has been having fun with his lampooning it, suggesting he was there for sex change surgery, that he was being converted into a woman, which I find hilarious and so very fitting, because he'd been promoting the woke agenda in the U.S. military, which has turned off so many patriotic young Southern boys who in the past have made up the bulwark, our backbone of our army. But they're turned off. And the vax, you know, the idea of having to take the vax. And now, as you're suggesting, it turns out this was deliberate to decimate our military, going woke, another way to weaken our military. Frankly, we don't have a military capable of defending the United States at this point in time. And it's all by design.
it sure looks that way. And this is the information that is in the hands of Elon Musk right now. If we are to believe that the raw evidence, the lists published that are, they're going to be presenting these to Jim Jordan, by the way. Elon Musk has the information and the ability to release direct messages, Twitter private messages, surveillance that show surveillance, censorship, sabotage, and orders that were given out and issued there that are on record now. This isn't even Freedom of Information Act stuff. This is stuff that's on the files that can be released at any time. So, you know, this, we'll see if this has anything to do with actually alerting our military or getting out into the public in terms of what the, like you just talked about, Jim, the design destruction of our military power. That's what it was.
That's absolutely staggering. It's absolutely staggering, Steve. Absolutely. And you know that they have these emails is extremely revealing. I mean, it was for good reason that Hillary went about destroying her server. She even took hammers and bit bleach to them and all that stuff, that 33,000. And yet, of course, she's never been prosecuted. My suspicion, Steve, is that Hillary has a get-out-of-jail-free card as a member of the CIA. I don't think it's far-fetched. And she has committed outrageous crimes, some involving pedophilia related to adrenochrome, killing a 14-year-old girl, it appears, on video that is actually on the Anthony Weiner laptop. It was revealed that hardened NYPD, who viewed this, were so stunned they were reduced to tears by what Hillary had done. I mean, it is disgusting beyond belief.
Yeah, and her whole affair with Huma Abedin all this time that's been, you know, this lesbian affair that's been going on is something that's been out of the headlines. No one's ever discussed that, of course. And not that that's any particular part of it, but it's just another blemish in the composite identity of this woman, Hillary Clinton, who's just been a witch all this time that we have not held to justice. And, you know, the things that have happened prior to even the Trump era, we go back, you know, to Vince Foster, you know, people yes. like that, Ron Brown, yeah. All these, the boatload of skeletons following in the wake of their barge, you know what I mean, that's behind them. I understand that the Seth Rich issue is coming back again after these years, and this is coming back out again. So the question is, how are we going to enforce an honest review of the things that we question right now, Jim? We're not even really close to having these people answer honestly under any kind of consequences. That's why Fauci still skated. That's why, you know, Biden can lie to the public the way he does at random, you know, and we don't have anybody answering these questions for us in Washington. And the court system is turned into a peanut gallery of insulting lawfare lawsuits against their opponents like Donald Trump.
Yes, yes, yes. And just to show how far they care this impersonation body double business, there was a recent footage showing Biden walking toward Air Force One, the chopper. Only his back was completely rigid. Every step he took was completely mechanical. It is as though it were a robot. And I'm telling you, Steve, it was a robot. Wearing a Biden face, it was less authentically human than C-3PO.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing what they can get away with. And this is the reason why we get people to challenge things. Now, look, we're not going to be absolutely correct on everything. And I'll be the first to say that correct us as we go. But, you know, the news media will not answer these questions. They will not talk to us about and do the kind of investigation that we recommend. Obviously, there have been problems with Anthony Fauci, HIV/AIDS, and the COVID SARS-CoV-2 virus. You know, you can't even get that virus, Jim, in a pure sample from anybody. The World Health Organization, NIH, CDC, nobody can give you a jar with a pure sample in it. They have a computer program. Oh, you see, here's the primers, and that identifies it. It's an in silico imaginary virus. And if you ask them and said, we want to take this into a laboratory, we want to see it infect cells, we want to see how it causes this ACE1 to ACE2 receptor miscommunication, which causes a cytokine storm or whatever we want to call COVID. You know, we want to see how this thing works. Well, they don't have a virus they can give you. They give you a computer program. And they said, this is it. You know, I mean, this is how bad it is. I mean, we don't have any kind of a test subject in a pure sample that we can even use. It's never been there. A guy by the name of Christian Drosten in Germany was the one who created all this. He is the German version of Fauci. He and another guy named Corwin, and they put this together there in Germany. And this is all they use to identify this horrific germ, SARS-CoV-2. You know, it's a computer program. It's all animated. That's how bad this is.
Yep, Steve, you got it exactly right. We're about to hit a break, but I'm so very, very pleased to have you here. This is all completely, completely outrageous and stunning. And when we return, we have an interview of Scott Ritter with RT News, gauging tensions worldwide. Steve, see you in a few minutes.
All right, buddy.
I'm baffled why we don't have a break music, Steve. Yeah.
We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It's
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal right here on Revolution Radio this 10th day of January 2024 with my special guest Steve Storrs, where we've been reviewing the bizarre stories of the day. I was able to return a call that had come in earlier when we were on the air from a source with good intel connections who says that the official cover story for Lloyd Austin is going to be a rapid acting prostate cancer. It's all bullshit. But the fact is, this death in Kiev, when the U.S. was engaged in a proxy war, was not supposed to reveal direct American involvement. But with his death, it's manifest. And we're not just talking about potentially a regional war, but the United States actively engaged in warfare with Russia, which threatens, of course, a world war. And Vladimir Putin isn't being fooled by any of this. I mentioned in passing already, there was an attempt to assassinate Putin by Ukraine. Now, you see, three American presidents signed executive orders against the assassination of foreign heads of state. So what we had in the Iraq invasion 3 weeks in on April 7, 2003, a B-1 bomber pilot was given new coordinates. He was told it was a big one. He dropped two 500-pound JDAM bombs on a restaurant in the outskirts of Baghdad, and he killed Saddam Hussein, his two sons, and 50 or 60 members of the general staff. Even Dick Cheney, then vice president, said that Saddam's lifeless body was dragged out of the rubble. But when they were proceeding to have the mission accomplished celebration on the USS Lincoln off the coast of San Diego, someone... We believe it was Donald Rumsfeld, and I first learned about this from the mother of the pilot who brought me the story, which is unverified. Realized that if W went aboard the ship and announced they got Saddam, he'd be explaining putting his head in illegal news because what he was doing was illegal, which is why the whole thing became quite a fiasco. So to cover... What they did was to take one of Saddam's doubles, claim they found him in a spider hole where Saddam himself would never have deigned to climb down into dirt. I mean, it's insulting on its face. Put him on trial and then hanged him. I suspect they had an agreement that he wouldn't actually be hung, that they'd have a platform there, but they couldn't afford to have this guy wandering around. We might be discovered sipping Mai Tais in Tahiti. So there was no platform. It was Joe Viles, a photojournalist from Australia, who first noted the difference. Saddam had excellent teeth and overbite, meaning his upper teeth come over his lower teeth, which is true for most of us. But the body double had bad teeth and an underbite, so his lower teeth extended beyond his upper teeth. And after Viles laid that out, I verified it by tracking down this deck of cards that the American military had for all the leaders of Iraq, where the ace of spades was Saddam Hussein with his regal teeth, his magnificent teeth. So it was all a monstrous fraud. And even when you had Joe Viles laying it out and exposing it, and I was pursuing it and confirming it, the world just went on its merry way. So, you know, they cause these bullshit, these replacements. I've already mentioned Hillary having 6 or 8 body doubles. The President Biden is a body double. There may well be more than one. Sometimes there are legitimate reasons for having a body double. For example, Vladimir Putin has a body double. That's for security reasons. Donald Trump, I'm sure, has a body double. That's for security reasons. And by the way, there have already been a dozen attempts to assassinate Trump, including one using a drone where they fired through his bedroom window and he would have been killed except a week before they'd replace the glass with bulletproof. Other than that, Trump would no longer be a problem. But of course, we have lots of reason to suspect, and there are plenty of individuals being emphatic that they're not going to let Trump become president of the United States again. And in part, even in large measure, is because he's a non-interventionist. He doesn't believe in all these wars. Well, all these wars are the gravy train for the military-industrial complex and many members of the Congress on both sides of the aisle. And the other is that he wants to take power away from the senior executive service, sometimes called the deep state, and give it back to the people. He has a Schedule F that he's figured out how to hire and fire these individuals who are protected by civil service that engage in policy shaping and decision making activities, even though they're unelected and don't have the authority. So Trump is a double whammy. And believe me, the establishment on both sides are opposed to him. So, if anyone continues to entertain the myth that Donald Trump is one of them, well, just consider the following. If he's one of them, when he has this huge popular following, and I estimate in 2020 he actually got 100 million votes to Biden 37, why not go with the flow? Put him in office. If he's one of us, he'll do the thing you want done anyway with immense popularity of the American people. Instead, they're going out of their way with a phony impeachments, not once but twice, Russiagate, all this other nonsense. You got a phony rape allegation in New York. You got all these others. This Jack Smith doesn't even appear to have been properly appointed. It's all total bullshit. And they're doing that because they fear him like they have feared no politician in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like it. Steve, your thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, it makes the perfect logical sense when you consider that we know that Donald Trump has opposed the deep state. You know, they did everything they could to keep him from talking to Vladimir Putin very early on. That's why they created, to a large extent, this fear of Russia, the Russia-Russia-Russia-gate issue, obviously something that has never been examined or prosecuted, much less, held anybody to accountability. And, you know, the reason why was, of course, going back to what happened with initially Crimea, which was what started all this. And if you've seen Oliver Stone's film, Ukraine on Fire, you know that Ukraine was doing very, very well with a GDP before all this started. But then when the people of Crimea decided that they wanted to vote to be part of the Federation, and they did and can do that legally under Chapter 51 or Charter 51, wherever it is in the UN. I mean, they were allowed to make these decisions. Well, they couldn't have that because NATO and the UN and well, not the UN, but the United States and the West did not want them to have that warm water port there in Crimea, even though Crimea has been historically part of Russia for so many years. Anyway, I don't want to get too far into that, but to say here was an opportunity where Putin, who is an economist, he's got a PhD in economy, friends. He knows what brought down the Soviet Union. It was the economic sanctions and problems and things that we had. He's been preparing to protect and rebuild the Soviet financial infrastructure all these years. And he was ready for this. They didn't want that. They didn't want to allow that. They wanted to keep pressuring the Russians the best they could. Putin outsmarted them with his ability to know the economic factors and all of this. People wanted to join in the Donbass region, voted again to join the Federation of Russia. And now that should have been left alone. But the bottom line is, as you know, Soros got involved in all this. Obama got in all this. Those original sanctions that they placed on Putin after the Crimea incident, the orange color revolution, the Maidan, and all this other stuff that came up out of that, was a turn for the worse for nobody's good, especially the Ukrainians, who stood to make a lot of money in the middle of dealing between Russia and Europe. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. You know, Trump was very well aware of this. He was very well aware of this. They were trying to break off any communications between Russia and the United States toward a better and a more sane world. So they did everything they could. How could Trump possibly be a part of a deep state if he was trying to disrupt everything that they were doing to create what they're doing now? Massive economic disasters, famine. Problems of military industrial complex, agitations all over the world, you know, even as we talked about in the Middle East and Israel, that's expanding right now. All of what they've been doing is everything that Trump was trying to stop and prevent. Now, how he got hoodwinked into some of these things is another issue. We'll talk about that. But the bottom line is no, he can't be. I don't see any way in the world they would want him to be assassinating him, which is what they really do want to do if they can. You better watch out, friends. It's very likely there are going to be a lot of very serious attempts on Trump.
Yep. And his team, his security team, is first rate, top notch. And so far, so good. But I agree, the threat is real. Meanwhile, we have Scott Ritter giving an interview with RT. Let's see what Scott has to say.
We have Scott Ritter, former U.S. Marine Corps intelligence officer and U.N. weapons inspector, here to discuss the unfolding world events. Scott, thank you so much for coming, and it's lovely to see you, and a happy new year. And of course, this isn't your first trip to Russia. You've been here before. This has been organized by the Development Corporation in the Novosibirsk region. So, what are your impressions during this latest trip, especially coming at a time when Russia's under so much pressure from the West?
Well, again, I'd just like to emphasize that I'm here at the invitation of Alexander Zarianov, who is the chairman of the Novosibirsk Development Agency. And he has been the perfect host. I think he personifies the kind of man I think Russia should be proud of, hardworking, et cetera. He has respected my desires to learn about Russia. He's not here to guide me through anything. I'm here to see Russia, to experience Russia, to meet Russians, to talk to Russians, and to capture this this moment and take it back to the United States, where the real work has to take place, trying to convince Americans to overcome the Russophobia that has gripped it. So to see Russia during both New Year and then the Orthodox Christmas, it's a unique experience because you are seeing the real Russia. I mean, New Year is their version, the Russian version of American Christmas. The gifts are given, family. But when you see the Russian Orthodox Christmas and you contrast it to the American Christmas, I can't speak for all Americans. There's many very religious Americans who view Christmas as a very religious day. But in Russia, it is a genuinely religious day. I attended the ceremony in Moscow where the Kirill over did the Christmas mass. It was just awe-inspiring to see the beauty, the pageantry, but not just that, to see how sincerely religious the people who were in attendance are. I know Russia's like the United States. There's many people who say that they're religious but aren't. But what I've seen both in May when I was here last time and in this trip is that religion is reawakening, you know, because there were 75 years of a Soviet rule where religion was suppressed. And then you had the 1990s where Russia was in absolute chaos. But you've seen a rebirth of Russia redefining itself as a nation. And the key element of that is, of course, it's Orthodox faith, it's religion. It's part of the Russian soul. And I'm sort of on a journey to try and discover the Russian soul. So being exposed to that was very important, and I'm very happy to have had the opportunity.
So it's been a very busy Christmas and New Year for you. Soon you'll be heading back to the States, and it's going to be another busy, frantic year over there, with it being an election year, of course. We've been discussing earlier US President Biden and how he was heckled during one of his re-election campaign speeches in South Carolina, which is probably something we're going to see a lot more of, because protesters, they were calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. This is an issue that's really hit the American public in the heart really hard. Do you think that this might be the straw that broke the camel's back for Biden? Because we've seen his popularity just completely plummet, haven't we? And this might this be the one particular topic that really ends his chances of re-election?
Well, I think it's a culmination of things that are haunting the Biden administration. First and foremost, it's, and I have to be careful with what I say, because I respect my elders. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, Joe Biden was elected president by the people of the United States. Mm-hmm. It was a contested election, controversial election, but he was elected. And as an American, I have to respect that. Mm-hmm. He is, if I were in the military, he is my commander in chief. In politics, you have to divorce yourself from politics. But when you look at the president today, you see a man who's incapacitated by age. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be in office today, not because of any legitimacy of the process, but because of his frailty as a human being. He didn't know where the Secretary of Defense was for 3 days. I can't imagine a scenario where Vladimir Putin didn't know where Shoigu was for 3 days. So I think that's the big problem here. And so everything else is sort of a manifestation of that. You know, we've had foreign policy failures. Afghanistan, huge failure. This ongoing Russian debacle is a failure. The Ukraine crisis is a failure. And what's happened in the Middle East is yet just another failure. But in American election year, it's very rarely foreign policy issues that decide elections. James Carville, who was an advisor of Bill Clinton back in the early 1990s when Clinton was making a run for president, you know, famously said, "It's the economy, stupid." And so the economy is normally the issue. The fact that we have foreign policy issues, Stephen, it means that something else is at stake here. And what's at stake here is how we define ourselves as American people. You see, it's one thing to say we're for Ukraine or we're against Russia. But if, with Israel and Gaza, we're talking about genocide, real genocide. I'm not talking about the nonsense that the propagandists put out about what Russia did with Ukraine, etc. I'm talking about genuine, targeted genocide of the Palestinian people. And this is a bridge too far for the American public. Because even as much as we historically have supported Israel, we cannot support this wanton slaughter of innocent civilians. And I think that's the problem. It's not a foreign policy failure. It's a failure of the American identity. We're supposed to stand for something better. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. But at the end of the day, we're supposed to stand on principle. And you have no principle when you support the genocide of the Palestinian people, which is happening today. 11,000 children. Maybe more, because there's so many buried under the rubble that have yet to be counted. I am sickened when I hear American officials like Tony Blinken say, far too many Palestinians to be killed. Well, how many is enough for you, Tony? How many is enough? At what level do we cut it off? Okay, 11,000 is too many children. Is 5,000 enough? Is 3,000 enough? See, this is the despicability of the Biden administration, the total lack of moral character. And that's what I think is going to hurt him, not the foreign policy issue, but the fact that Americans look in the mirror and don't like what they're seeing. Because what they're seeing is a person, a citizen, who is being silent in the face of atrocities being committed by a nation, and the United States is supporting those atrocities. That's what's going to bite them.
It is.
Steve, I really like that. I think Scott Ritter has been one of the great truth tellers of this event, along with Colonel Douglas McGregor. Your thoughts about his observation of American character and loss of moral stature and the corruption of our identity by way of support for genocide.
Yeah, it's been a long brewing situation over there. We know that. And you know, I've had opportunity at times to talk to some of the people who've lived in Gaza. I know there are a lot of really I mean, they're people who are cramped in a bad situation, and they're trying to make the best of survival in what has become an open air concentration camp. And yet at the same time, I agree to a large extent with RFK Jr. when he says that the Palestinian leadership has just been horrible. How did we end up with another Arafat in Abbas is what I'm wondering. How is it that these people could not manage to get a better hold on controlling some of the more violent aspects of the Palestinian movement there, from Hamas to Fatah to Hezbollah to the different groups there? You got these innocent people in the middle of all of this, and you have to contain the situation. So there are difficulties and problems on both sides, of course, as we know. And I have relatives in Lebanon. They can tell you about the Hezbollah camping trip that's been there for quite a while. You know, it's a darn touchy situation. And when you get people who can't accommodate learning how to take care of the population that they have, both in Israel and in Gaza, you have this kind of a bloodbath taking place, and you can't pick sides on it because you see so many of these, like we said, the numbers of civilians dying outnumber the people who are agitators and militants every time in a war situation. And it's just horrific. Should have been avoided. Yeah. Absolutely.
Steve, you're absolutely right, and the problem is that they've decoupled government from the people because we have the theft of the election using multiple means, and it even appears, I'm getting reports that even the Department of Defense was engaged in stealing the 2020 election, which is just repulsive beyond words, but I don't think we got a military left, and I don't shed any tears for the death of Lloyd Austin. He deserved it. And the idea that, you know, they're going to play games now and claim it was Iraqi rabbit acting cancer. I don't know how many people are going to fall for that. Steve, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and well, of course, you have to you have to actually look and scope the insanity of Bibi Netanyahu's plan to move 3 million people out of an area, you know, because he wants to accommodate a much better and much safer border for Israel. I mean, that on face value doesn't make any sense. Where are they going to go? Is Larry Fink going to buy a portion of Sudan and move them there? I don't think so. I mean, how are you going to evacuate these people out of there? Of course, you know, you can make it so difficult to live there that people will try to get out no matter where. But where are they going to go to? This is the big problem. You can't just come along now and try to say this experiment in Gaza has been a failure, which I would have predicted a long time ago that it would be. It should have never happened this way. But the bottom line is, you know, how do we get these people relocated? Because there are some really good people among these people who live in Gaza that deserve better from all of us in the world right now. And yes, there are people in Israel who do as well. How do we let these maniacs get into power and mismanage something like this? As you said, there are people who are pulling strings on the destiny of a lot of people's lives that should not be in power.
Yeah, and of course, virtually everyone in this audience at least aware of the pledge, which Cynthia McKinney revealed on Press TV, Iranian television back in 2011. The new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of even the interests of the United States, which means we have it, and virtually everyone signs a pledge, Steve. It is shocking. A friend of mine years ago, I mean, this could be 7-8 years ago, asked me, did I know how many members of the then present Congress had refused to sign the pledge? And I admitted I did not. And he held up one finger of one hand. One member of the Congress had refused to sign the pledge. That means Congress is Israeli occupied territory. And we know the media is dominated by the Israelis. Therefore, it's very difficult to get a bona fide American point of view across, and even our own Congress, it is pathetic, and it just brings knots to my stomach, appears to have been co-opted by these Zionists. Your thoughts?
It's there. I mean, obviously, we have these people, you know, who are at the top of the chain operating very large institutions like BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, the bankers who had these connections, and they funded, I mean, through Soros, they funded Zelensky. They have done so many things around the world to keep us all uneasy. And at the same time, you know, we're trying to find a way to see if we can take care of people in these countries, all of them. I mean, I'm so concerned over what has happened to the Ukraine and the people there. I remember when there were a group of women, Jim, who were out. This is going back to the Crimea era, after the post-Crimea, where they were burning draft cards of their husbands and their sons. And they said, we will not participate in a war against Russia. They were not going to enlist. Now they've got 60-year-old men and women out there getting ready to march into this meat grinder. The Russians don't want to kill these people. A lot of them are related. But the fact is this is something that should have been avoided. Donald Trump could have avoided that. They did everything they could, Jim, to keep Trump from talking to Putin. You remember that whole era and how this developed into what it is now. So, I mean, there is the people who should be running things aren't. And the maniacs who are empowered by this banking cartel, the international banking cartel, which is collapsing, are determined to take the whole world down with them.
Yes, yes, yes. And if I read the clock correctly, we're about to hit a break. And after the break, I'm going to open the lines for callers. Let me see if we get the break on a timely fashion or not. We need it. Here it is. Where is it? Let me see. No, we got another minute. Steve, you had some thoughts about the Paul McCartney thing. I know you wanted to share. We weren't able to pursue. Would you like to add a few while we got a moment here before the break?
Yeah, I just say, look at the film Now and Then, the new video, the latest video is quite mysterious. You'll see Linda Eastman. Of course, there's imagery from Kodak, all of the superimposition that you have photographically there. They recreate John Lennon. They recreate the old Ringo, the old Paul. And they're still alive and in the video, too. So, yeah, look at that.
See, that's great. Continue and open the lines for the calls right after this break.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Remember now that Mitchell has retired. I no longer have a producer. I'm managing this myself and don't have the sophistication he possesses. We have a new call-in number, 608-957-8727. 608-957-8727. We do have two callers already standing by, area code 816. Join the conversation. Give us your first name and your state. Yeah, go ahead.
Brian, it's Kansas City. I just want to point out something of interest for everybody. My next door neighbor, a liberal Democrat, when I would go over there, they would have CNN on, him and his wife, and they had these yard signs that said, "Everybody get the shot. You get the shot." Well, guess what happened a few nights ago? It wasn't good. We are less one liberal Democrat in the United States because he died in his sleep. So, gee, I wonder what caused that. So, I have someone else I knew pretty well, young, fit, did landscaping. And so he was always lugging trees around. He was just muscular. And he called and he said, "Well, I've got turbo cancer and it's gone to my brain." So another case. So I read somewhere we're going to see a lot of this in 2024. And boy, for me in January, it's really hit home. So anyway.
Well, I think that's right, because one of the effects of the shot is to destroy your immune system, which has been fending off threats to your body. But when it's gone, those threats, and they can be diverse in character, are allowed to run rampant. So you can have a lot of deaths from a lot of different causes where it's not going to be obvious that they have a single precipitating event, namely the destruction of your immune system by taking the COVID vax. Brian, would you like to add more, or shall I bring in our second caller, and you can hang in here and add more thoughts? But yeah,
real quick. Yeah, one thing I want to bring up when we talk about Trump is his son-in-law was part of that Shabbat Levonovich, or however you say it, Talmudic cult, the death cult, and that underground tunnel thing in New York, that was part of the same thing. And, you know, if you get on Henry McCowan, you just punch in that Shabbat, you know, cult, and all the articles that come up on them, I mean, they are absolutely the worst of the worst. I mean, they want to kill everybody but like 50,000 of them or whatever the number is, and they call everyone except the very pure Jews who are total Neanderthals mixed multitudes, and they have to all be killed. And so I'm just suspicious when you've got your son-in-law being part of this really horrible cult. So anyway, that's that's what
I think that's very appropriate. And actually, I had another caller recommending Henry Mackow's website is excellent on these issues. Eric Code 408. If I'm not mistaken, Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, well, first thing I would say is we don't really need that much sophistication handling two callers, Brian and Paul, over and over again.
You can't imagine my ability to muck up even the simplest technology. That's not my strength, Paul. That's all. Go ahead.
We just need direct lines, Jim. That's it. Problem solved. So, you know, there's multiple things that were said that I kind of, you know, want to react to. But one of the first ones was you said that the American people had been decoupled from their government by these fake elections. And I got to say, yeah, we've been decoupled from the government for 200 years, the way they set it up. And that's a whole show in of itself, you know. But I mean,
Steve, by the way, is nodding in agreement. Steve, would you like to respond to Paul's first comment?
Well, yeah, I let it continue. Absolutely, there's been problems ever since the beginning. You know, the Senate itself was set up a lot like the Roman Senate to be an aristocracy, and it still is to this day. And that's been a big issue. This is where you find the biggest problem, I think. And, of course, when you allow these people all the freedom to have inside information and to play the stock market and all the interests of the financial sector secretly, it's a license to steal is what it is. So these people don't go there to serve. They go there to make money. But I'll let you continue because I think you're on the right track here.
Right. So, I mean, I don't want to get derailed, but this goes back to, you know, the Federalists and the Anti-Federalist and the Constitution itself and basically unlimited taxing power and so on. Even the court system is, of course, nowadays is absurd when Jim Fetzer knows quite well he was denied a jury trial. And supposedly all controversies above $20, you're supposed to get a jury trial. But nowadays we have judges determining whether you will proceed any further in this so-called judicial process. And they will just completely, you know, look past whatever has already been written down in the law, because that doesn't matter. And I sent you an email today, Jim, about it's from Sasha Latipova's Substack about now Pfizer is essentially going to, and they're going to be successful, they're going to remove the Texas suit against them to federal court where they will be protected. And already in the document, which you can read, they're claiming essentially this sovereign immunity that the federal government has because they were essentially acting at the behest of the federal government and the Department of Defense. What most people don't realize, this whole COVID operation was a DOD operation. And I don't want to get into that, but just quickly also react to the Scott Ritter clip, which you played. And I've had enough of Scott Ritter. There's a lot of clips of him, and he says a lot of things to me that really piss me off, similar to probably a lot of different politicians, of course, including Trump. You know, people that don't look at Trump through a very dubious lens have just not heard enough of the clips of him and some of the things that he says on many of these issues. And you know, of course, the Operation Warp Speed is the most, in my opinion, troubling. But, you know, this thing about, oh, the American people won't stand for this genocide of, you know, this overt genocide of Palestinian children. And he claimed 11,000 Palestinian children. I don't know, but that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. And what the hell is he talking about? The American people were quite fine with the genocide of the Japanese people, the genocide of the German people, the genocide of the Korean people, the Vietnamese people. Jim, I don't know what you've heard, but there's so many figures have been thrown out about how many Vietnamese civilians lost their lives in Vietnam. Is it a million? Is it 2 million? They say that, what, a million Iraqis lost their lives because of our little, shall we say, dalliance over there in Iraq. You know, and so here's this guy, Scott Ritter. Like I said, I've just heard enough of him, you know, crying about 11,000 Palestinian people. Well, who are we to tell the Israelis they can't genocide anybody when we have been behind some of the most heinous genocides throughout history? To me, the whole thing just makes me sick. Every time I hear somebody like that open their mouth about this genocide of the Palestinians and how we're not going to stand for it. Not only are we not going to do anything about it, there's really nothing we can do about it. Because guess what? as your guest said earlier, the wrong people are in charge.
Steve, pick up.
Oh, I think he's right. You know, we can try to intervene, but again, the ill-conceived idea of trying to evacuate 3 million people, most of which are probably hardworking people just trying to survive to someplace unnamed and unknown, is insane. So, I mean, that was a very flippant and almost as satanic operation, the way this whole thing got started. We know that there was intentionally an IDF locked down or shut down or default there that allowed this to happen in the first place. But again, you know, how does the Palestinian leadership, where does it take its cues from? Who is the Muslim Brotherhood and the people at MI6 that have put people like Abbas in these positions that orchestrate or at least allow these kinds of things to happen with their population probably the same as ours? They can't control who's leading the charge here. And you find the innocent people, as you said before, just like in these wars that we've seen so many of, where the civilians pay the penalty for the rules and the measures that these psychopaths impart upon the world.
Brian, did you want to add? Paul, go ahead.
Yes,
go ahead.
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, when you talk about all that, what I'm reminded of is Jabotsky, who was the secretary to, was it Herzog or one of those, in the Israeli days, when they were talking about the Palestinians, what they were going to use as a model for what they were going to do to them is what we did to the American Indians. So, you know, that just shows you where we are when the Israelis want to model things after what we do. So that's all I had to say.
Paul, your next issue.
my next issue. Yeah. How many do we need? Yeah, no, it's just it's unfortunate. The fact of the matter is that we are indeed just spectators for the most part. And, you know, again, we have a right to be outraged about the conduct of others that we object to. But, you know, how much good does it do to get so upset about it when, like I said, there's literally nothing that most of us can do. And we know what the score is. We know who runs things here. I mean, there's just an article I came upon this morning. It'd be no surprise to you, Jim. CNN's coverage of, you know, anything over there. This has been the same for a long time. Anything over in the Middle East, but especially this so-called war over there now, runs through their Jerusalem Bureau. And, of course, their Jerusalem Bureau is, I'm sure, overseen by the IDF and by the Mossad. So how accurate is it of whatever it is we're hearing about what's going on over there?
Yeah, agreed, 100%. Steve?
Very good points. You know, I'll give you kind of my overall perspective. If we are to believe that territory is God's land, then the people who live there should be observant and respectful of why they're there and the property they are standing on. And these people, everybody wants to take it. Everybody wants to claim it's theirs. But at the same time, I mean, wouldn't it be better if people looked at it and said, look, you know, regardless of our different faiths or different agreements, let's act accordingly because we're in a place, we're standing on holy ground here. And that's why this is probably the most bloody real estate in all the world, friends. Everybody thinks they're going to control it. Everybody thinks it's going to be theirs. And it really isn't anybody's property. It's their ability to stay there is purely at the pleasure of Almighty God. We know the Jews have been driven out of there 2 or 3 times. If they weren't in slavery, they were carried off to Babylon. Jesus warned them in his time that this is coming to an end, and for 2,000 years they were removed from that territory. This was the second time around. I mean, God isn't going to put up with a lot of nonsense on his area, regardless of who it is. And I just wish people would come together and say, look, let's not fight here. How about you know, when you argue in courts, if you want to deal with the finances and stuff like that, but let's just show some reverence to the location we're in instead of thinking we're going to run things here. And that's I know that's simplistic, but gosh, it's the only solution I can understand for the whole situation, Jim.
Brian, did you want to add?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry I mute and then it takes me longer.
Well, they're demons, you know, the Khazars are just demons. And so you've got demons there because it's God's house. So naturally, what are they going to do? So that's how I look at it.
Yeah. And they try to masquerade, don't they? And that's what's wrong here. It really is. And people just they're trying to pick a side. They're not realizing how we're destroying ourselves with it all. And I cringe at it. It's just awful.
Paul, other points or comments?
Well, I mean, I don't know how blood-soaked that land is compared to any other, many other pieces of ground around the world. Earlier in the show, I forget who it was that said it. Maybe it was a clip, or maybe one of the two of you said something about the Palestinian people deserve or don't deserve something. The word deserve was used. I'm going to go back later on and listen to the show. But anyway, as soon as that was said, it reminded me of one of the great scenes in the movie Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood, standing over Gene Hackman as he's about to meet his maker. And Gene Hackman says, "I don't deserve this." And Clint Eastwood says, "Deserve's got nothing to do with it." Bam. Pulled the trigger.
I think it was in the Scott Ritter clip, actually, Paul, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is what I thought of, but I mean, so, you know, this is the world we live in. It's unfortunate. And the most honorable, the most consistent, the most decent politician that I can personally recall, based upon clips that I've heard, is Adolf Hitler. Can you imagine saying that? Can you imagine people thinking and saying that, 10, 20, 30 years ago? But now it just seems to me like it is and probably should be more accepted, because when you read the speeches, when you listen to the speeches that are translated, and read what he wrote, and what a lot of the National Socialists wrote at that time, that it meets all those standards that I just laid out, right? It's consistent, honorable, decent, so on and so forth. And of course, we destroyed those people at the behest of who Brian called demons. And by the way, I understand, I don't have it on any great authority, but I understand that some of our founding fathers, including Ben Franklin, including John Adams, actually referred to these people in those terms as demons. So this is nothing new.
Steve.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to agree with Hitler. I think he should have been an artist instead, in my opinion. But the fact is that, a lot of those people are still around. I mean, look at where Soros came from. Look at Zelensky, right sector in Ukraine today. You still got the same stuff in Bandera groups and everything like that. So the Fourth Reich is still here in the country. We know what happened with Operation Paperclip. A lot of those people came to the United States. Wernher von Braun, a lot of the German secrets and things. I believe there's a secret space program that's been going on all this time, and NASA is just a show, to be honest with you. They needed more money for missiles and satellites. That's getting off onto another topic altogether. But, some of these same people have been around all through all this. We know that many of them were former Nazis, and we know what happened with Brzezinski, Kissinger, so many others along the lines. And
yeah, but you're naming a bunch of Jews, like Kissinger, Zelensky, all these people, Brzezinski. These are all Jews. So, I mean, when you understand what the National Socialists were about, they were naming the people that are being named now. That's all they were doing. And they wanted to remove that from power. They have power over us now, and that power has to be removed. Otherwise, we're just going to continue this on and on. Things are only going to get worse.
Well, Brzezinski, I think, was a Roman Catholic, but issues that you have here is you still have an enclave, and you may know a little bit about the Sabbatean Labor Party and people like that who are very real, who, as are not actually Jews themselves, but disguise themselves as such, and they're a very big influence on that community. There's no question about it. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough because when you start looking at all groups of people, you're going to find that the same demons masquerade in a number of different costumes, is I guess what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not one of these people that's afraid to use a label that's been used for a long time. So we can quibble about the overall racial makeup. And there is some diversity within this racial group, this racial subgroup. But they've been identified correctly for a very, very, very long time. And of course, there are genetic tests that can reveal this. But, you know, like I said, we know that the Nazis are not in charge. OK, just like we know the Nigerians are not in charge and the South Koreans are not in charge and so on and so on. It's very, very simple. And this just goes all, you know, this goes back to the semantic arguments or the not all arguments. In other words, like I said, articulating the not all argument is not worth the time because it's implicit anytime you label or name a group. Right. That's problematic. It's obvious it's, quote, not all, but we have to look at the group. Right. So, for example, when we look at the IQ curves, right, not all blacks are morons. OK, but about 40% of them are. OK, so there you go.
Zbigniew was born in Warsaw on March 28, 1928, into an aristocratic Roman Catholic family. It was then part of Poland, but clearly now part of Ukraine. And by the way, even Zelensky has openly admitted the whole war effort is to make Ukraine the new Israel. And I think it's their defeat there that's led to the enthusiasm or vigor with which they're seeking to cleanse Palestine. They want it all, every inch for themselves, just as they wouldn't settle for Russia having Crimea or the Donbass. Steve.
Yeah, it's a strange concoction. You know, it's a multi-headed beast that we're fighting here in many ways. And, you know, again, I think we can begin to see a lot of these people as they excel in their circles of where the real deviance takes place. And, you know, the question is, can the people themselves assemble enough force and identification to spotlight these people and interrupt and diffuse, you know, the agendas that they're trying to pull across on us at this point? At this point, we're at a critical point right now. Paul?
Right. So, like I said, a friend of mine who's quite, I actually have at least two, but one in particular I've been corresponding with, is very enlightened in what these people have done for centuries upon centuries, which would hide under the cloak of being a Roman Catholic or a Christian family. It's like what Bill Maher says that he's a Catholic, right? You look at Bill Maher's face, okay, and that nose, and I guarantee you that he's Jewish, just like Brzezinski. I've seen Brzezinski's face before. He's racially a Jew. And let's face it, as I've made the point to you, Jim, on many, many occasions, biology is something is not anything that is amenable to change, right? You can say you're a Democrat one day and a conservative the next day, and you can be a communist and you can be a capitalist and you can be all these things are conceptual in nature. In other words, in reality, they don't exist. Jews are a race. They exist. White people are a race. They exist. Blacks are a race. They exist. And so that's why the Germans were so focused on race, and they were correct to do so, because in the end, nothing else is going to be a better indication of behavior. This is why black people are always talking about the skin color. It's a false argument. We know it's not the skin color. The skin color is just an indication of what you have, similar to the label on a car, right? So you can put a Mercedes emblem on a Chevy, but that doesn't make it a Mercedes. So in other words, it's the biology that counts. And of course, biologically, these people were always regarded as racial aliens, and they were not of the type of racial aliens that were welcome because of their behavior, what they engaged in. Lots of other racial aliens don't engage in the behavior that these people do. And of course, historically, besides getting in positions of power and influencing the governments and causing, you know, excessive taxation and inflation and financial problems and, you know, so forth, they were known for ritual child murder and ritual child sacrifice. And again, this is part of the historical record.
Well, I just wouldn't put people in a car category. I don't think genetics determine what people are. You know, I mean, people can decide. They can change. People have options.
Genetics determine what people are?
Nope, I don't.
No, that's really false.
I don't think genetics make up your mind for you. I think you make up your mind.
No,
for
they do.
They don't make up your mind.
They do. I'm sorry. I mean, you're in an area where I know because a baby's in the womb, the soul, the DNA comes through the soul, okay? Right. Your soul is part of your DNA, and your genetic makeup is going to be part of what makes you, how you act as you continue.
Brian, studies with twins have revealed that 60% of our traits are genetically determined and the other 40% not. But among those that are not are going to be our beliefs. I mean, those are acquired from our environment. You know, yeah. It's right. Like fads and fashions that can come and go. I mean, those aren't something that are dependent upon our genes, but upon our culture, and they can evolve and change very rapidly, whereas genetic changes require a considerable period of time through gestation and evolution.
So there's a lot of things here in the stew pot, if you will, and of course this is not just one show but multiple shows. But yeah, beliefs, this is something that, again, I'm not talking about a belief, right? I'm talking about behavior, which is mostly innate. In other words, there's certain aspects of your life that you can think about and you can choose. But in the end, okay, for example, you know, the old saying about a zebra doesn't change its stripes. Well, see, behavior is very, very innate in the animal world. And to make the case that it's not innate in humans, to me, seems absurd. When all the
observable... Paul, you're ignoring evolution. The lower species, yes, they operate instinctually, and their behavior is genetically determined. But the higher species, the higher primates, a mountain gorilla, the human being, it's not that way. I mean, it's...
Oh, my God. I can't believe you just said that.
My God, Paul, I publish on this. You know, why don't you pick up a copy of my book, The Evolution of Intelligence, so you know what you're talking about, because I do a lot of research on genetic versus cultural evolution.
I'd first have to learn how to read to do that, so sorry.
Steve, go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, though, Jim, there. I mean, we have, there's the options that we have. I like to think that I can make up my own mind and I can look at all the information. This is where we live today. You know, it's not just a cast and die. People can hear the truth. That's why we're out here right now talking, because we know we can reach people. We can talk to them and they can hear us.
If it's not cast,
I really appreciate it. I just have too much time to get to the police bus.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.